The reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, and that's on page 1177 of the Bibles in the seats in front of you or behind you. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Good morning. Apologies, a little underprepared. Just to sort out the technology. And a few other bits and pieces, just give me a second. Right, okay. If you've closed your Bibles, I would love you to find them again and open up Ephesians and chapter 6, so page 1177. Children, this is you too. You're going to need them. And I'm going to ask for God to help us as we look at this. Let me pray. Our great God, you tell us that all scripture, all of these words in the Bible are breathed out by you. They are really your words. How amazing it is that as we come to read them and to look at them together, we are hearing the voice of Almighty God. And we pray that you would give us ears that want to hear what you're saying, hearts that want to do what you say, and eyes that can see more and more of your kindness, your love, and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a prize, okay? A cream egg. Jacob's going to give me a hand. He's not getting it. He's just going to give me a hand. Jacob, you hang on to that. That's brilliant. To get this prize, this is only for you if you're a child or anyone who is not an adult, okay? Anyone who is not an adult, are you listening? Here's the question. You've actually had some help with the answer already. Here's the question. The way to get the prize is to put your hand in the air as quick as possible. So the first hand in the air I'll go to. You're hilarious. What's the first word of the Bible passage? Oh, I think it was Andrew, was it? Go on. Children. Give Andrew a round of applause and a cream egg. If you're disappointed you didn't get a cream egg, I've got some more sweets for anyone of any age after the service. If you can answer my three questions, what are children to do, what is everyone to do, and what are parents to do? Okay? The first word of the Bible passage, children. Now, is that a surprise? If you think, oh, you know, this bit of the service, this talk is not for me, it's just for adults, well, then you're wrong if you're a child. Actually, when this letter was first read out to those newish churches in this great city of Ephesus, these small groups of Christians meeting, there would have been adults and children there. It would have been a surprise for those children too when they heard the word children. Because in that time, if you were a child, you weren't really thought of as that important. And here, they are hearing God speak direct to them. You see, children, God wants to talk to you and he expects you to listen. In fact, don't let anyone tell you that you're too young to listen and to learn when you stay in the main service. Actually, every time we open our Bibles, God is speaking, not just to adults, but to all of us. Just the rest of us, just notice, children aren't here excluded or a distraction from church. You know, it wouldn't be better if they were in Sunday club for the whole service every week. No, they're an integral part of our church family. They should be welcomed like Jesus welcomes children. Maybe you're here, you're not a child, you're not a parent, and you're thinking, is this really for me? Well, what we're going to see as we go through is that actually this is relevant for all of us, whether we are old or young. Because all of us have or had parents, and all of us are or have been children. Now, I want to recognize as we do come to this whole area, whether you are a small child or an elderly person, for some of us to hear this might be very, very hard. Some of you, maybe it's because you had a tough childhood. You could never seem to make your parents happy, or you were neglected or even abused, or maybe you didn't even know your biological parents. Maybe for you, your parents have died, or they were divorced, or you're a single parent trying to do this, or married to an unbeliever and trying to do this, or maybe you wish you were parents and you're not. Or actually, you are, but you have failed so much. Or you're a child that feels you failed so much. I'm not claiming that I have all the answers this morning. I have leaned on the advice of more experienced Christian parents. But actually, what we need most is to listen to the one who invented family, who is family in his being. Because you remember, God is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. So here's the first question. What are children to do? What are children to do? Now, I've got some sheets that the stewards are going to give out. So, children, if you want one of these, this is for you. Stick a hand in the air if you're a child. There's some sheets to help you to listen and to hear what's being said. There's a word search and stuff. And I think they've got pens as well if you need a pen. So stick a hand in the air, get a sheet, get a pen. Incidentally, if you're a grown-up, we hand these out on the way in, not just so you can have some of the information about what's going up, but so that you can take some notes on the back. And again, those pens on the table, if you don't remember to bring a pen in the modern era, do make use of that. Okay, so here's the first question. What should children do? And the answer, have we got this up here? Yeah, let's click on the first button. What are children to do? Obey your parents. Did you get that? Let's have a look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, maybe you're sitting there and thinking, like, who is it actually talking to? What is a child? Who is counted as a child? Well, if you look to verse 4, it talks about fathers bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So it seems to be children who are being brought up under the father and the family's care and authority. So do your parents buy the food that you eat? Or provide the bed you sleep in, well, then you're probably a child. Now, today in Ireland, you're a child if you're sort of under 18. It still might apply a bit to you in terms of following the rules of the house, even if you're a bit older and you're living at home. And what should you do? Well, obey. Josh, I'm going to have some help from you. Where are you? Here you are. Come and give me a hand. I want to show you what obeying is not, okay? Here is what obeying is not. This is Josh's room. I'm the parent, he's the child. Josh, will you tidy your room, please? No. Josh, I need you to tidy your room. Like now, Josh, we need to go and I need you to tidy your room. Josh, look at me, look at me. Tidy your room.
No, get someone else. I'm not.
Now, tidy your room. Just in case you're wondering, that's not obedience. If you as a child don't do it straight away, that's not obedience. That's you doing it when you want in your own time. That's not obedience. What about another one? Josh, I need you to tidy your room. Okay, he did sort of do it straight away this time, but his heart is not happy. That is not obedience. If you do it on the outside, but actually on the inside, you really don't want to do it, that is not obedience. So obedience is straight away with a happy heart. Don't wander too far, Josh. I'm going to need you in a moment. Obedience is straight away with a happy heart. That doesn't mean a child can't question. You know, like, are you sure you want me to do that? What about this? But it needs to be done respectfully. Now, more experienced parents have helped me understand that as children grow older, what you need to do is move children from simply obeying to making wise decisions themselves. But you might be a child and you're sitting there and you're thinking, why? Why do I have to obey my parents? Josh, we need to go. You need to come now. Come on. Why? Because I told you so. Come on. Okay, that's fine. Thank you. Do you know why do children obey their parents? Not because they say so. No, the first reason is because Jesus is Lord. Because Jesus says so. Do you see that in verse 1? Obey your parents in the Lord. Or you get it in verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. It's God's commandment. On the top 10 of commands, it comes in at number 5. Jesus is in charge of the whole universe. And he has put parents in charge of you. And he says, you must obey your parents. And if you think, oh, obeying parents, do I need to do that to make myself a Christian? No, not at all. The only way to be a Christian is to trust in Jesus. But if you obey your parents, it's a sign that you are following Jesus. If you've already trusted in Jesus and you know you're loved by Jesus, you're a child of God, then you'll believe Jesus' ways are best and you'll try to please him. And that means that every time you help clear the table or you put the laundry in the basket rather than the general area of the basket, well, then you're living for Jesus. But I know some of the children are probably going, you know, hang on, Ed. What if my parents tell me to do something wrong? What do I do then, huh? What if they say, don't go to church? Or lie about when we last had COVID? Well, you're to obey your parents in the Lord. So actually, do everything your parents tell you as long as it fits in with what Jesus tells you. The first reason why you should obey is because Jesus is Lord. It pleases him. But also because, second, it means a better or best life. Have a look at verse 2 again. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. You want your life to go well? You want to enjoy long life? It says here, honor your parents. And you think, is it as simple as that? You know, when you go to one of those sort of machines and you want a can of Coke and you put in your €2, clunk, and out comes the can of Coke. Is that how it works? You know, if I obey my parents, well, then I'll get long life and the best life. Well, not exactly. And some of us here will know only too well that that isn't how it happens. What does this mean then? What does it mean that if we follow this commandment with a promise, it'll go well, we'll enjoy long life? It could mean, generally speaking, life on this earth is better if our family is in a happy place. And actually, we see it's so important to learn how to treat those who are in charge of us. And the first place we learn that is in the family. And if we do learn that, it goes better for us. So if we learn that in the family, well, we listen to the teacher and we're not always in trouble. We obey the guarder. We don't end up in prison. We respect our elders. We don't fall out with the boss. We keep our job. It actually leads to better life as a child and an adult. Even more, actually, it teaches us how to treat God, the one who is in charge of all. If anything, this is the most important lesson. So actually, obeying parents helps us to learn how to recognize God is in charge, to listen to him, to accept his help, to realize that we need his rescue from sin, to live his way. And if we trust and follow him, well then, not just generally speaking, does life go better, but there is better eternal life on the new earth. You see that bit at the end of verse 3, it says, enjoy long life on the earth. Actually, back in the Old Testament, when this command came in, it talked about the promised land. And so here for Christians today, our promised land is a new perfect world. A new heaven and a new earth. And Jesus says he will bring that one day. So children, when you think, oh, obeying my parents, do I really have to? Oh, I can't be good to do that. Actually, Jesus wants your best. He wants life to go well with you now, and he wants you to be with him for eternity. And this is going to help you. So children, what should you do? Obey your parents. What about the next one? Everyone. Let's click on that one. Honor your parents. What if you're in your 20s, your 40s, your 60s? Should you obey? The specific command here of obedience is to children. The general principle to all is found in verse 2. Honor your father and mother. Actually, teenagers, more and more you should be moving from this point of being told to obey to choosing to honor. Some of us, being adults for very long, actually find this very hard. Maybe our parents really failed. And the first thing that we need to clear out of the way before we can honor them is we just need to ask God to help us forgive our parents. And you might say, Ed, that's just impossible. If you knew what they're like or what they did, well, it isn't impossible with God. God says, as he forgives us, so we're to forgive others. It's the first step in learning how to honor our parents. Or actually, you say, this is really hard because you've just wrecked things with your parents in the way that you've acted. You've really failed. Well, you need to ask God for your own forgiveness and then go and seek it from your parents. You know, however good our parents are or have been, all of us struggle. And all of us need to have an increasing desire and an increasing effort to show parents love and respect. Let me give you five really quick ways. This is for anyone of any age. How? Well, thank them. Appreciate all that they've done or do for you. Just one middle-aged lady I was chatting to, really, her father had not been a good father. There was so little that she could find that was good. And yet, after hearing some of this teaching from the scriptures, she decided she would try and find one or two things that she could say thank you to her father for. And she did that, and what she found is that God melted her heart. She was able to forgive him more, and actually their relationship really improved. Say thank you. Secondly, seek advice. Yeah, weigh it carefully. If you're an adult, you don't have to just do what your parents say, but sometimes you might willingly submit. And, you know, you're around their house, that's their favorite chair. Just let them sit in their favorite chair. Thirdly, time. Give your parents time. I rang my mom a little while ago, and she said, sort of hardly a few seconds into the call, what can I help you with? I was like, oh my goodness, does she think every time I ring, I just want something? And I think, oh goodness, that might be true. Do we just give our parents time? Fourthly, care. Offer to help, whatever age you are, but especially when your parents are older. Don't just let the state do it. And fifthly, pray for them. Long for their spiritual best. All of us, what should we do? Honor our parents, that it may go well with us in this life and in the next. Right. Third button. Parents, what are parents to do? Train your children. Train our children. Ah, cream egg. Excellent. This is for the grown-ups. Jacob, you're going to give me a hand? Thanks. Again, first out of the blocks with a hand in the air is the first person. Ah, Mickey, you see, I had one of those down here for the children as well. Grace is having another go. Brilliant. This is just for the grown-ups. What on earth is my question? Yeah, what's the first word of verse 4? Oh, my goodness. I think Naus was first. Do you want to go? Fathers, go and give her a cream egg. Again, everyone, if you want some sweets, come to me after. Answer my three questions. I'll give you some sweets. Fathers, look at verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, why not parents? Again, isn't this a surprise? Why not mothers? On Mother's Day of all days. It's not because mothers are less valuable, oh no, or unimportant. No, they're absolutely vital. It's not because mothers have no responsibility. No, marriage is a partnership. Parents are absolutely in this together. No, it's because, as we saw when we were back in Ephesians 5 looking at husbands and wives, and if you didn't catch that, do listen back, God has made fathers overall responsible. That they are to serve the whole family, including the children, by leading the family, and especially spiritually. Now, I read fathers, and I don't actually go, oh my goodness, is this so sexist? What I go is, oh my goodness, this is a huge responsibility. And I find this really hard. Because actually, Miriam's just really good at looking after our family and thinking about what needs to be done. It's so much easier for me just to leave it to her. And yet, it's been lovely to actually have encouragement from other men here who take this seriously and to do this, deal with that disobedient toddler rather than just leaving it to her or open the Bible with the family. But you know, also notice this, as it says, fathers and with mothers in that marriage partnership, it's not primarily the church's job or the youth leader's job or the for the child to hear about Jesus. It's primarily the parents, especially the dads. It's why actually in the weekly emails you might have seen that there's information about parenting seminars from time to time, because goodness me, we need help to do this in our daily lives, in our homes. It's why the youth worker that we're hoping to appoint, Leanne's job description had this too. It said, amongst other things, encourage, resource, and support parents as they raise their children to know Jesus. How? How do we train our children? What do you think is the biggest obstacle that stops parents bringing up children the right way, God's way? So I asked my kids this question, not quite like that. I said, what do you think is the biggest thing that stops me being a good dad? And here were the answers. Bad jokes. I've a list, as in this child said, I've a list. And the third one said, where do I start? So I think we've got a little way to go in my family on this whole issue. What is the biggest obstacle that stops me being a good dad? It is actually my sinful heart. It's me. And it's where Paul starts as he speaks to parents. Children, do you see this too? He says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." It's literally, don't make them angry. Don't provoke them to anger. It's the language that was used when the people of Israel were in the desert and they didn't do what they should have done. They did evil. And it made God rightly angry. What this is saying is, when we sin against our kids, it makes them rightly angry. You know, when us parents, we're selfish. And so we give out to them because they made us look bad, not because they actually had done anything wrong. Or we're hypocritical. Ever seen this, a parent ever do this or done this yourself? Stop shouting! Or we're unfair. We have favorites. We'll watch the boys' football but never go to the girls' gymnastics. Or we're inconsistent or harsh or overcritical or abusive. There's no excuse for that angry slap or that silent treatment. Or maybe most crushing, we're idolatrous. We've got these dreams that we want to live through our kids and we demand them to excel and they're just crushed by our expectations. My greatest need as a parent is to be parented by my loving Heavenly Father. To go to Him again and say sorry for my laziness and my selfishness and my anger and my impatience. Receive His forgiveness and ask Him to help me to do better. Help me not to provoke my children to anger. Children, know this. Your parents are not perfect. They will get stuff wrong. You're going to need to be patient with us sometimes. And actually recognize that we need Jesus too. The biggest obstacle, but here's the biggest encouragement. That if you're a parent, we don't parent on our own. Jesus, the Almighty God, is with us. And the great news is that actually children aren't saved through our parenting. Only Jesus can save them. Only He can change them. As we parent, He is at work. What does that look like in practice? Let me give you three quick things. It looks like caring. So it says, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up. It's the nurture, taking care word. I got a friend. He has got this beautiful garden. And, you know, looking out at it, I just thought, like, why does mine not look anything like that? It's because I don't give it any attention. I don't think about it. I just don't care about it. He is devoted to it. If we want children to grow, to flourish, to be what God wants them to be, we need to give them attention and time and thought and care that they might grow into who God's made them to be, creatures who live and glorify our glorious God. I was talking to a father, he's now a grandfather, and I said, like, how did you manage to do this? Because I know that when he was a younger parent, he was starting his own business, he was busy in church. He said various things, but one thing he said was this: I was at home at family dinner every night to see the children, to pray with them, to care for them. If I needed to go back into the office after that, I did. It'll look different for each of us. But sacrificially caring, loving them, and leading them to Jesus is what we're called to. Caring. It'll look like training. So bring them up in the training of the Lord. Do you remember these? Lots of the guys will know how to tie one of these. And quite a few girls as well, you had to wear these, didn't you? Some of you children. How on earth did you learn to do this? Well, it was by example, as maybe a parent or someone else said, look, this is how you do it. And then it was by correction. So if you sort of went like this, went, no, that's not how you do it. It was both by correction and example. Actually, that word training here has both of those aspects in it. It's translated training for us, but it includes example and correction, so train by example. A friend of mine, all his children grown up now, mostly, 8 kids. Before we had kids, I was chatting to him. I said, what would we need to know if God gave us children? He said, your children watch you. He said, my children know me better than my wife. My goodness, that is scary. But do you want your children to pray? Well, then they'll need to see you praying. Do you want your children to be generous? Well, then they'll need to see you being generous. Do you want them to admit their sin? They'll need to see you say you're sorry. Do you want them to love Jesus' word, prioritize Jesus' people? Then, well, they'll need to see you open your Bible, taking notes during the tour, prioritizing Sundays every week. Train by example. Train by correction. So clear boundaries about things that matter. So lying, not just spilling the milk. And fair consequences. And when we issue threats about those fair consequences, following through. And clear explanation why. Look, this is why you need to do not that way. And when they fail, well, praying with them for forgiveness and help. Training. And it'll look like teaching. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Yeah, that'll include church and youth group and camps, but teaching also maybe primarily in the home, formally. So aim at trying to read the Bible and pray. Goodness me, we find this hard to do. And I find it harder as the kids have got older. But informally, talk about the Creator when you see the stars. Talk about the future world of hope and peace when we talk about the pain and the injustice of what's going on in Ukraine. Talk about God's forgiveness and gentleness with us when that child is angry with a friend at school. And most of all, talk about our Savior. You know, our job is not to be perfect parents. It's not to produce perfect kids or even good kids. It is to give them Jesus, to show them that more than anything else, we and they need Jesus. Kids, do you know what the most important lesson for you guys is? It's not maths, not that you ever thought it was. It's not don't put your hand in the fire, although I'd suggest you follow that one. It's that we need Jesus. We need to be trained and instructed so that we come to know the wonderful Savior. 3 questions. Children, what are you to do? Obey your parents. What's everyone to do? Honor our parents. Parents, train our children. And the goal? Well, for you children, for all of us, as children of the living God, if we put our trust in Jesus, is to grow up in the training and instruction and the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Oh, Lord, we need you. We need you to help us with the things that you call us to do, to live a life worthy of the status that you've given us as your children, as holy people. And we need your help as children, whether we're young or grown up, to obey and honor. Help us to do that, and more so. And we need your help as we parent or as we encourage others to parent. And Lord, we ask that in your grace as we do these things, things might go well with us. Yes, in this life, but ultimately in our relationship with you. As we look forward to that wonderful reality of being at home with you, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus, our Savior brother. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to